This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Thursday, January 5th, 2017. Normally on Thursdays, we just get a little 3-4-game slate, maybe a 5-game slate, but not this week. It is a glorious 8 games on a Thursday. I had to do a double take when I saw the schedule Thursday. So I thought it's going to be a nice, easy show for the judge. You know, only a few games, maybe getting into some other topics about some research strategy. A lot of you guys have been asking specific questions you want me to discuss on the pod, but 8 games, that's a lot of games, and you know the judge likes to ramble. We got the dream killers, dream lovers, lots to get to, so we got to get to cracking for the show. Quick update on Strawgate. I did get a straw for my smoothie today, so I feel extra fresh for the show. So hopefully the show will be, maybe it'll be a little bit better today. I don't know, maybe, or maybe it'll be worse. I don't know. Let's see what correlation straw to a good show has. But before we get started, as always, first of all, if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, that would be glorious and fantastic. And the judge says many thanks. I know a lot of you have already done that. I'm not going to lie, though, guys. And I need all of you to join me when look at the rankings on the top 150 for iTunes. I mean, we're getting beat by, I think there's a bow and arrow show in there. There's a cycling show in there I saw today. A fishing show, a canoe show. I mean, man, I guess there are a lot of people who like the outdoorsy stuff. The judge is not an outdoorsman. And I guess DFS is like a smaller niche. But, you know, we have a lot of ratings already. We will get back in that top 150 rankings. I know it. I don't know what the algorithm that they use to determine what podcast gets ranked and what doesn't. But I do know for a fact that if you do rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, that definitely helps. And we are climbing, my friends. We are over 5,000 listeners per episode, which is fantastic. So some episodes we actually get a lot more than that, but we're averaging more than that, which is great. And things seem to be going well. So let's keep it going. Also, please download the app Draft and use the promo code DFBPOD. If you downloaded the app and you didn't use the promo code, make sure you let the judge know. You can find me on Twitter at Daniel A. Green 1, or you can go to my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and email me via the site. I'm super psyched about what's going to be going on Draft in the next coming days. If you already downloaded the app, which you should have, don't make me get the bailiff on you. If you just open the app up and look like kind of the lobby and look at the top of the screen, right now you'll see kind of like a bracket. And I think right now they're highlighting like a Roto Grinders, like a bunch of different brackets for people who want to play tournaments who are, I guess, fans of Roto Grinder or just sponsored by Roto Grinder or whatever. But they are going to do, I think, the same thing for the judges' chambers. How glorious is that going to be? So basically it's going to be like an NCAA bracket challenge where I think it's going to be like one-on-one, you know, basically like a snake draft between, you know, two people, and then the winner just moves on. And then we'll keep going until you finally get the two best players who have won all their previous snake drafts. So it should be awesome. I'm super pumped about it. I was emailing back and forth all day with the draft people on Wednesday, and I'm going to have more emails with them on Thursday because we're finalizing the details. So the second that's up and running, I will definitely make sure to let you know. I'm hoping to get it started later this week. At worst case scenario, it's going to be early next week, but it's going to be so cool. It's basically like the NCAA, you know, brackets. So I don't think it's going to be like us all the listeners doing, you know, like 10 or 20 people doing a snake draft. I think it's going to be a mano y mano, one-on-one snake person draft. Winner moves on, like an NCAA bracket. So it should be really cool though. So hopefully this is when that's finalized, I will obviously let all of you know. And you know, I think we're going to keep rolling those out as long as the demand is there. And I'm just really psyched about it because I mean and in the meantime, while it's not up yet, you can do some practice ones. If you want to challenge me, you can find me on there. I am the judge is my username. You do have to use the word the, And if you want, you can do some free challenges if you want, just to get used to how the snake drafts work on the app. Again, you're only choosing like five players. The drafts take like a minute or 2 minutes. It's really fast, really easy, and a lot of fun. So I'm pumped for that. Also, if you would like a consultation with the judge, I had two more consultations tonight. I think they both went pretty well. If you're having more of a kind of a macro level issue with DFS and you're not happy with your results, you think there may be a fundamental flaw in your research techniques. Biggest one I see is contests. People are just entering the wrong contests. Roster construction is another big one where I'm finding just people are entering, GPP lineups. And first of all, they're not building proper GPP lineups. They're typically throwing in still somewhat cash game lineups in a GPP. And if you're going to do that, there's really no reason to play a GPP. But so, I mean, we can really do, it's just a personalized consultation where we can dive into to issues that are really, affecting your DFS game and hopefully get you back on track. So if you want to do that, you can tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or the email via the website. Should we get to Chambers for Wednesday? Wednesday was a crazy night, guys. It was, I'm sure as most of you know, there was so much injury news, so much going on that it was wacky. And the problem was a lot of the injury news was we were not going to find out before lineup lock because a lot of it had to do with the Miami team. And even the Cleveland news about LeBron playing, that wasn't going to be out. So like I scaled back what I was playing. I just wasn't comfortable with the slate. I mean, in previous years, I would have loved a slate like that because I would have been playing, maybe 50, 100 lineups in all GBPs. So I would have been taking, I would have taken the risk. I'm playing guys like LeBron, playing guys like James Johnson who went nuts. But because just the way that I'm currently playing these days and I don't have the time to do that, I just scaled back. I wasn't comfortable with all the uncertainty. And that's fine to do. If you're not happy with the slate, man, just you can easily scale it back. If you know there's still too much news that hasn't come out before lineup lock, there's no issue with doing that. Should we talk Chambers on Wednesday? And by the way, I think I'm going to do a test run for DraftKings Chambers on probably Friday of this week for the first time. So I know a lot of you have already reached out to me. So probably look for. You can still tweet at me if you want to invite to that. I'm just going to do a test run. Probably only going to be maybe one DraftKings Chambers on Friday though, just to see how it goes. Probably only be 20 people or so. So you might get a surprise Christmas, late Christmas, New Year's present from the judge, a little DM invite to the Chambers on DraftKings. But let's get back to Chambers for FanDuel, which we're currently running. Three Chambers we're running every day, which has the best. I think some of the best, I know some of the best DFS players in the land. And Wednesday, super high scoring night. So, I mean, you needed like a 325, I think, to cash in a double up and a 50-50 and like a 330s to get close to cashing in GPPs. And Chambers was no different. So let's give a shout out to the three winners. We had three veteran Chambers players who took each of the Chambers down. Number two ranked Jeremier. I love when you have the same FanDuel username and Twitter name. It makes it so much easier on the judge. Jeremy at J Ramirez, his eighth win of the year, his 10th cash, a top score of the night in Chambers as well, a 368.5. That would have, I think, taken down a couple of the single entry tournaments that I entered. And I'm sure that would have done, really, really well in, any GPP. That's just a phenomenal score. He was one of the few, one of the only ones in Chambers who played Austin Rivers, and Austin Rivers went nuts for over 40. I think it was all close to 45 FanDuel points. So congrats to him. And man, I don't want to reveal who's the new number one in the power rankings that are going to be updated any day now, but it's close battle. Eight wins for Jeremy is just fantastic. He's been on fire this year. Shout out to Slappy DF at Slappy 1975. His fourth win of the year, his 10th cash. I think he's currently the fourth ranked player in Chambers power rankings. So again, another guy who's been playing great all year, very consistent results. And shout out to Toss Carly at Toss Carly. His third win of the year, including a best of the best win, his fourth cash with a 348.2. And Slappy had a 343.8 score. So all well done. All three of you, the judge, applauds you. You defeated the judge on this night. That part I did not like. I think my score in chambers was like maybe like a 315 or something like that. So that wasn't going to cut it on a night like this. You needed a super high score. Well, why do you need a high score? Let's talk dream killers and dream lovers. First of all, dream killers. Soul Crusher to me is very easy. There's really no words for me to describe what DeMarcus Cousins did on Wednesday night. You almost had to watch the game because I can't fully articulate how disgusting and how much he made me want to vomit, and how much he made me throw the gavel at my TV and scare the bailiff into barking and waking up the neighbors. It was a weird game. One, it was Cousins. Some games he just doesn't seem focused and into the game. And that seemed to be the case throughout against this D-League Miami squad. And he also didn't get the ball a ton. And I mean, in the first half, guys like Afalo were taking a ton of shots. It was just a bizarre game. He did not get the normal usage. And even though the pace of this game for a Sacramento-Miami game was pretty high. So he had Showtime Reed, who's like 7 inches shorter than him and weighs like 100 pounds less than him on him. It just made no sense. He put up one of his worst games of the year by far. I don't even know if he had 25 FanDuel points. It was just embarrassing. I didn't even watch the fourth quarter. I just turned it off. I was so pissed off. Cause I mean, I was in one of my high entry fee single entry tournaments that I can't remember which one it was, but I had Cousins and I was like 2 points off the cash line before the Kings game started. And so I thought it was a lock I was going to cash. I thought there's no – I had Aminu, who played really well. I had Harkless, who did okay with whatever. Harkless stumbled, bumbled, and fumbles his way into 20 FanDuel points regardless of matchup. And I thought for sure I would cash, and I ended up not cashing because Cousins absolutely blitzed me. I mean, again, he was the top-ranked center easily the most expensive center, and every other center on the board outplayed him and outscored him almost, except for Showtime Willie Reed, who was also a dream killer. So if you tried to chase the points of Showtime Willie Reed for Miami, that probably didn't work out too well. He got in early foul trouble, like I told you he would on the show yesterday. And yeah, I think he ended up with maybe 14, 13 FanDuel points, something like that. Jabari Parker, also a dream killer. This guy, I'm pretty sure he's either allergic to getting rebounds, or he just maybe as a kid he was just told they're like an evil statistic and you don't want rebounds or there's something bad. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but if you go on my Twitter feed, you can find I think I posted a video late in the game, and which was a really good game, by the way, between the Knicks and the Bucks. It was probably the best game of the night to watch. Parker, the Knicks missed a shot, rebound fell right into Parker's hands. Like Edward Scissorhands just went right through his hands. He couldn't catch. I mean, the ball went right through his hands. It was an impossible. How could you not grab the rebound? I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it's things like that that like I think sometimes people who aren't watching the games and just like these nerds who sit and let computer programs pick all the lineups for them. Sometimes I think they have it easier because they're not watching this stuff. And at the end of the night, they just look and see a number. Oh, Jabari Parker put up 23 FanDuel points. Like they don't realize how much we had to, the people who are watching the games, and like I know a lot of the listeners out there, how we had to suffer through things like Jabari Parker having Edward Scissorhands and not being able to grab a rebound. So Dream Killer ended up with like I said, only about 23 FanDuel points. At his salary now, he's a one-trick pony, and like it's now becoming a problem to play him because his usage rate's fine, but he's basically becoming Andrew Wiggins. He's a little bit better than Andrew Wiggins because he'll have some peripheral stats, but it's at that price now. It's tough to play him, at least in cash games. Dwight Howard, I thought Dwight was going to smash today. I played him a lot. This is the most I've played Dwight all year. I loved the matchup versus Orlando. I thought there's no way he's not going to get 20 rebounds against Vucevic. I mean, he had a good fourth quarter and ended up with like 32 FanDuel points, but again, it wasn't enough on this night, especially when you had guys like Joakim Noah, Steven Adams, and Greg Monroe, who all were in the mid to high 30s. So you can't have someone who's $3,000 more have less FanDuel points. It will make them a dream killer. Also from that same Atlanta game, Paul Millsap didn't do enough to get value. 30 FanDuel points for him, not good enough. Dragic, again, dream killer, I think for the second straight night. He was okay. I think he got close to 30, but clearly not enough on this night when you needed a 330 to cash. Zach Randolph, really disappointing night for him. Yeah, he had about 15 FanDuel points. He didn't get minutes. Just super bizarre this game. As one of my boys on Twitter, WTBA, or I think his real name's Eric, was tweeting at me that that Vince Carter got 30 minutes and Zeebo got like 15 minutes, and it was just it didn't make sense. Especially because going into this, I really high hopes for Zach Randolph today, because Jamichael Green was basically questionable all day, and I think Jamichael Green ended up, yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't play. And then I thought the Grizzlies would start Zach Randolph, and they didn't. They started like James Enos or Tyler Ennis or one of these Ennis Enos boys who stink. And I can't remember who else they started. Maybe it was Vince Carter. But either way, Zeebo, who normally always is locked for 24 minutes, that did not happen. And he had like 15 FanDuel points, so dream killer. Richard Jefferson, with all the Cavs being in, out, you weren't sure if LeBron was even going to play. So some people took a shot with Richard Jefferson. If you did, that did not work out well for you. So my condolences. Mo Bucket Spates, people thought with Blake being out, he's going to, you know, go in and have some monster games. And it's not really going to happen because he's can only play spot minutes because he's a one-trick pony for a big guy, and he plays no defense. It's hard to give him a lot of minutes. So like one out of every 10 games, he'll be okay. But I don't even know if we would invite him to Magic Mountain, because he doesn't even deserve to go on the roller coasters, because his highs aren't even that high. Serge Ibaka was a dream killer. I faded him entirely with Evan Fournier back. I just didn't want it. Ibaka's getting expensive, so I didn't play him too much or at all. I think he was in the 20s. I mentioned Showtime Willie Reed. And then my boy Evan Turner, who I mentioned on the podcast yesterday. He should be in a good spot, but for whatever reason, he's getting a lot of minutes with Lillard out, and they're not using him properly. And even in a fantastic game that stayed close between Portland and Golden State, Evan Turner, again, like basically crapped the bed, or pissed the bed, I guess I should say. I guess I could say, maybe it was a combo, maybe he did both. Either way, he did not play well, didn't do enough, and I think he got less than 20 FanDuel points. And Harkless and Aminu were much better plays. Dream Lovers. Of course we had the Dream Lovers. I mean, if you're putting up 330 to cash, guys did really well. Starting with, I think, one of the worst players in the NBA, and that's Austin Rivers. And this is kind of one of the tough parts about DFS, because on paper, Austin Rivers was a bad play. Clippers versus Memphis, bad pace. There's other value point guards that were better plays. Brogdon was a better play. MCW was a better play. You could even say Fat Felton was a better play, not to mention all the other point guards that were on the slate. But the fact that Rivers is locked into mid to high 30s in minutes right now, and the fact that no one's going to play him, you know you're going to get a guy less than 5%. That makes him a good play in tournaments. And that's what's kind of frustrating. Like, to be a tournament player, you have to be willing to roster Austin Rivers when you know there's like at least 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 point guards that are better on paper. But the fact that he's going to be so low owned, and no one wants to play him, and when you are locked into those minutes, that's what separates someone being a tournament player versus being a cash game player. I mean, you got to be willing to take the risk. And I know a lot of us don't want to do it, but if you play tournaments, those are the people. And I think one of the guys, yeah, Jeremy, played Rivers and Chambers. That's kind of what it takes some days to take down these, not only Chambers, but also the large GPPs and win. And I mean, every winning lineup, I saw Austin Rivers. So a horrible play on paper, which it just sucks that in theory, like, that actually makes him a decent GPP play. And 9 out of 10 days, the play will suck and it will fail and you'll lose money. But the one day you win, you can make a ton of money. And that's kind of the trick to GPPs, because the payouts are so top heavy. So, I mean, it really is an entirely different mindset between playing cash games and single entry tournaments and GPPs. It's something I wish I could talk more about on the show. And that's something in the consultations that we really dive into a lot more. Greg Monroe for the Bucks. I all day long, people were talking about him. I wanted to fade him because of that. His ownership still wasn't that. His ownership was still okay. It wasn't super high, but he was great. He had close to 40 FanDuel points, and he was the best center of the night in terms of value. So he was fantastic against the Knicks, who are dreadful against the center position. Speaking of center, on the other side though, Joakim Noah, he hurt his shoulder. I think either late in the third or early in the fourth quarter, he was playing through pain. I'm pretty sure he's on steroids because he was a dead man walking about 2 weeks ago, and now he's putting up 40 Fando points like they're, you know, like it's nothing. But he had like 34 Fando points on Wednesday, so he was also a really good play. And he's playing a good allotment of minutes right now. Carmelo Anthony, I mean, him and Giannis were, and someone yelled at me for Twitter because I always call him Giannis. Someone said I should call him Giannis instead of Giannis. I don't know if that's right or not. I've heard both. Or I could just call him the Greek Freak if that will make you guys feel better. Either way, Greek Freak and Melo were both like 80 or 70% owned. Both did really well. Melo went nuts for like 55 Fando points, and his price, that was phenomenal. So it's just weird when a guy's that – when you roster a guy and then you find out he's that high owned, it's, you know, you still root for him obviously, but it's not – it's just not the same because, you know, every – you know, there's, you know, 80% of the crowd is also happy every time Melo does something well. But he actually – at least he came through and didn't get ejected. Jordan McRae for the Cavs. I think his first name is Jordan. I don't even know his first – I think – I'm pretty sure Jordan. But McRae is the guy who was going to replace J.R. Smith if they didn't re-sign him over the summer. He's a scorer, man. He does have some talent. So I did play him in some tournaments, and he played really well. If another one of their young guys, Felder, didn't start playing really well, like late in the third, early in the fourth, McRae would have got more minutes and would have got close to like 40 Fando points. He didn't play as many minutes as I would have hoped, like late in the fourth quarter. But he was still really good. He got close to 30 Fando points at the end, and his price was a minimum. So, you know, if Kyrie and Love miss more time, McRae is an interesting guy to keep your eye on if he starts. Jamal Crawford did okay. He had his one of his good games. It was Austin Rivers and Crawford. I mean, you could have had a winning GBB lineup with Rivers and Crawford. Crawford, tournament play only, though. It's always too risky. One-trick pony. Channing Frye, if you played the French Frye man, you probably were okay with it because he ended up with like 23 Fando points. And for him, that's like a minor miracle. Brogdon for the Bucks, he's so good, man. He's good defensively, even, and then offensively, he's really good too. He might be their second best player right now behind Giannis. That sounds wrong, man. I'm going back to Giannis. I don't care if that's wrong just to say it like that. But Brogdon was really good at over 30 Fando points again. Plumdog, that whole Golden State. Portland game stayed close, so there were dream lovers all over the court. Plumdog, Durant, Curry. Remember I mentioned Curry yesterday? He sucked every game. He got close to 50 Fando points, of course. Iguodala had a really good game. CJ McCollum for Portland went nuts, had over 50 Fando points. I wonder what his ownership was. I played him in like one lineup. I wonder what his ownership was in like something like the Slam. I don't think it was that high, but CJ McCollum went nuts, and he's in play again on Thursday. And then James Johnson for Miami, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks. Just a phenomenal game. I wish I would have played him. I think I played him in one lineup because before lineup lock, the news wasn't out if he was going to play or not. And he was Miami's best player against Sacramento. And now with Justice Winslow out for the year, I think we're going to be saying a lot of James Johnson, you know, a lot of his name going on going forward, because besides Dragic and Whiteside, I mean, who else do they have? They got Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, but James Johnson's been playing really good this year. All right, injury news for Thursday. Not a ton, but there's some. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is out with a hip. Patrick Patterson dealing with a strained left knee. Stuckey has a sore left hamstring. Dante Exum. Let me just say this right now, with Ronnie Stuckey being out with questionable with a sore left hamstring. My sneaky ninja of the day, in case some of you just listened to the beginning of the pod and then you kind of tune out. My sneaky ninja, Monte Ellis. Indiana gets Brooklyn. Monte Ellis is like 4K. If he can get some extra minutes, I think he could smash value. He'll be no one's going to play him. Super low owned. Monte Ellis, my sneaky ninja of the day. Dante Exum questionable. George Hill is still out for Utah. So Mac Daddy, I guess, is in play again if you want to go there. Cody Zeller dealing with a concussion. I didn't even mention Frank Kaminsky. I think he was a dream lover. I didn't see Frank the Tank in winning lineups. So I don't even know what his ownership was. I know he started off the first half. He was on fire. But I mean, I didn't play him at all because he's Frank the Tank Kaminsky, and he's been god awful. So watching him have a really good first half was not fun, to say the least. I thought at the time he was going to be in every winning lineup, and maybe he was in some of the GPPs. I just didn't enter them on Wednesday. But Zeller's going to be he's questionable. So if he's out again, you got Marvin Williams, you got Hawes, you got Kaminsky. Those guys again, you could play if you want. JJ Brea is looks like he's doubtful with an Achilles. Damian Lillard again is probably the biggest one of the night. Sprained ankle, he's questionable. And then Luol Deng with a bicep tendonitis is questionable. Luol Deng's been just a disaster lately. All right, let's get to the over-unders. Shockingly, because not much injury news, all the over-unders are up. So there's 8 games, the highest one on the board and the best game of the night, probably for DFS purposes and to watch, is OKC at Houston, otherwise known as Westbrook at Harden. And, you know, they played about a month ago. Both Harden and Westbrook were really disappointing. Both had, like, 8 turnovers. And both I'm pretty sure Harden had, like, 50 FanDuel points, and Harden ended up with, like, 46. So I expect both of them to do better this time. But they both have tough matchups because Westbrook is going up against Patrick Beverley, and Harden gets Oladipo. So they do not have easy matchups, even though it's a high, fast-paced game. So I actually will probably – I'll be targeting those two a little bit, but – I like a lot of the other guys from this game. Guys like Ariza's and Anderson's, and you know, Oladipo's, and you know, Steven Adams, and I guess a Cantor maybe. So some other guys in a really high fast paced game we should be able to target, as well as Westbrook and Harden. You got the Nets at Indiana, 218.5. Indiana is a 10.5 point favorite, so potential blowout here. But here, I mean, Brooklyn almost dead last against every position. So almost every Indiana guy is going to be in play. Got the Lakers at Portland. Wow, 215 over-under. Portland, all the Portland guys are going to be in play for me because Lakers are basically, they're like a mini version. They're you know, they're like a little, they defend a little bit better than Brooklyn. But basically, you can attack the Lakers at every position. So that game, for both sides, I like, because Portland's not a good defensive team either. So that quite honestly, that may be my favorite game to attack because Brooklyn, Indiana, the Nets are a joke. I mean, trying to figure out which Nets going to go off is tough. And playing guys like Kilpatrick and Bogdanovich, and it's just not a fun feeling. But Lakers and Portland, we kind of know who the main guys are for those teams and who's going to get most of the minutes. Then you kind of got some nasty games with over-unders. You got Utah, Toronto, a 202 over-under. Phoenix, Dallas, a fastest team, one of the fastest teams in pace versus one of the slowest in Phoenix, Dallas, 204 over-under. And then you got Atlanta, the Pelicans, 205 over-under. So, you know, if there was one game I'd want to just kind of cross off, it would be that Utah-Toronto game probably. Teams playing up in pace. You know the judge loves pace and usage and pace. I want a shirt that says usage and pace, and the back it will say pace and usage, and maybe you'd have a picture of the bailiff on it. I don't know. Maybe someday we'll get some merchandise for DG Core Room. We could probably make that happen soon. All right, but teams playing up in pace that I want to target. So Indiana against Brooklyn, they're playing way up in pace, so I'd be looking to target them. Dallas, way up in pace against Phoenix. And OKC, playing up in pace against Houston. So those are the three teams I want to target the most. Then the next two after that would probably be the Spurs against Denver and Portland against the Lakers. So those would probably be the five teams that stand out to me a little bit. And the Pelicans against Atlanta a little bit as well. All right, let's hop right into the plays. We could talk some defense versus position as we mentioned each of the particular players. So when OKC plays, the first question we have on every slate is, what do we do with Russell Westbrook? So the price has come up a little bit since last we spoke. I think it was under 12K, or right around there. Now it's 12.4K. He against Charlotte on Wednesday. So it is going to be a back-to-back for OKC. He had 65 FanDuel points. He destroyed Kemba Walker, 33 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 block, 2 steals. But that's basically what we need from him. And I mean, typically – on slates that are about 8 games or more, you haven't had to roster Westbrook. Unless he goes off for about an 80, 90 FanDuel point night, we should be able to make up that value with other point guards. Point guard, as always, is loaded. And when it comes to playing one of these stars, especially when you have to choose between a Westbrook and a Harden, one of the first things I do is think about opportunity cost, which basically means, you know, what, I mean, one way of asking that is which position is better? I mean, which position has more good plays on Thursday? And it's easily point guard. Point guard's loaded. You can pick. You can play lots of guys. At shooting guard, you know, it's if you don't play Harden, it's kind of harder to make up that value. On point guard, if you don't play Westbrook, there's other guys where I think you can make that value, or you can make that value up. But that said, still elite play. I'm fine with him all formats. I am not using him in cash as of right now. He also is up against Patrick Beverley. And look, I watched that entire last game against OKC at Houston. Patrick Beverley defended him really well. I mean, Westbrook had 8 turnovers, and that wasn't just because he was careless with the ball. I mean, Beverley was all over him. Beverley gets up for these matchups. So while I will be playing a decent amount of Westbrook in tournaments, I really don't want him in cash right now. Kemba Walker, 8.1K. So I don't know whether or not it is the Charlotte Kembas or... Well, first of all, I don't know. I still am confused. Are we calling it the Charlotte Kembas or the Charlotte Walkers? I got mixed feedback on Twitter. Some of you like the Charlotte Kembas. Others like the Charlotte Walkers. One of you guys like the Walking Dead, so you wanted the Charlotte Walkers. But also, it still could be the Charlotte Batums, because Batum played really – Kemba and Batum both played pretty well on Wednesday. I think Batum actually played a little bit better, especially given his price. But Kemba's in a decent spot here against so Kemba's at Detroit – so playing way down in pace, so that is not a great thing for me. But I do love the fact that he has the third highest usage rate on the board. Westbrook is obviously first at 46%. Reggie Jackson, number two at 31%. And then you got Kemba at 30%. And so Kemba will be in play for me. I will have some exposure. Right now, I do not think that's going to be in cash games. But if you did it in cash... it's okay. It's just what was the over under in that game? Where is that? Yeah, so it's 205.5. So that's actually much higher than I thought. The way both those teams plays, that's interesting. I thought it'd be more of like a 201 or a maybe even sub less than 200, but a 205. That's not bad. So he's fine for all formats. The judge will be playing him probably, though, in only single-entry tournaments and GPPs. Kyle Lowry, 8.1K versus Utah, coming off the worst game of his season by far. I mean, the last game, he had 13 Fando points against San Antonio when Toronto got absolutely blitzed. But if you look at the games before that, 58, 40, 51, 41, 48, 45. So I'm going to throw that last game out the window. Now, Toronto, they are playing way down in pace against Utah. Also, Utah defends they give it the second fewest points to opposing point guards. Now, I mentioned that a couple days ago, and then Isaiah Thomas put up 60 Fando points on him. So you can attack Utah at this position, and George Hill is out, and as someone pointed out to me, that is true. I mean, they are a better team, better defensive team at that position when George Hill is playing. I mean, Shelvin Mack does not scare me defensively. It's just more so the pace scares me. So not a guy also. And also, let's be honest, I don't love his usage rate. I keep mentioning it, and it's 27% while DeMar DeRozan gets 34% of the shots. So all signs point to me, not a cash game play for this slate. But I do think he's going to be fine for single entry in tournaments because people see Utah and get scared, don't want to play him. And he easily, not easily, but he could give me a 40-45 Fando point net against Utah. You know, if Isaiah Thomas can do it, I think Kyle Lowry, you know, can do it as well in what should be a really close game. Eric Bledsoe, 8K, you know, the quintessential guy who he's first in line with me at Magic Mountain going on all the roller coasters. And so Phoenix playing way down in pace, not a guy that I'll be looking to target in cash games. I never want to target him in cash games. And quite honestly, I don't love this play. I will not have a ton of Eric Bledsoe exposure on Thursday. Jeff Teague, 7.8K. Now he gets the delicious defense against Brooklyn. And Brooklyn gives up the most points in the world, the entire universe, to point guards. So Teague, safe for all formats. The last two games have not been great, 30-30. But I think one of those games he sprained his ankle, so he only that's why he got limited minutes. But if this game can stay close, and I guess the blowout worries me a tad, but not a ton, because if they do blow him out, it's going to be a lot of it because of Teague. And I will say the other thing that's slowly starting to worry me is Paul George is slowly starting to play a little bit better. So as Paul George plays better and his usage rate goes up, that will make Teague's go down. But the one thing that I do like about Teague lately is the assists. The assists are worth 1.5 points on FanDuel. I got to figure out what the hell they are on DraftKings. And now I totally forgot what the scoring is on DraftKings. It's been so long. But look at the assists for Teague. 8, 9, 17, 11, 5, 8, 12, 10, 8. That's beautiful. So, I mean, he's basically giving us, let's say he gets only 8 assists, which is like his, I think his floor these days. That's what? 12? Let me see how good my math is. That 12 FanDuel points? 13, 14 FanDuel points? Something like that. It's 4 in the morning. Leave me alone. Don't make me do math. But like he's against Brooklyn, no Jeremy Lin. He's just in an elite spot. And if for somehow this game stays close, look, we saw the last two games, how Golden State stayed close when they should have blown teams out, and Indiana's not Golden State. So T could easily give me a 40, 45 FanDuel point night. Big fan of him on this slate. Drew Holiday, 7.2K. What can you do? What do I like to attack from Atlanta? Say it with me. Let's go. I attack Atlanta guards. That's right. I especially attack them at the point guard because Dennis Schroeder is pathetic defensively. Where's my boy Drew? So Atlanta gives up. And quite honestly, Drew Holiday, not a great defender either. I mean, this matchup, you could easily, and which I will do, I will have a FanDuel lineup with my two point guards being Drew Holiday and Dennis Schroeder because while the Pelicans give up, where is it? Pelicans give up the third most FanDuel points, while Atlanta gives up the second most FanDuel points to point guards, while Brooklyn gives up the most. So, I mean, you know, so the last three guys I mentioned, all in elite spots, Teague, Holiday, and Schroeder, all beautiful matchups. Now, Holiday, I still get a little queasy playing him in cash, but, you know, when you dive a little bit deeper, and sometimes we got to do it, 37-38 the last two games. And to me, that's great. That's fine. But with me, it's about minutes. And minutes have been delicious. 35, 35, 34, 36. So you're telling me Drew Holiday at 7.2K is going to get 35 minutes against a disgusting Atlanta team, at least defensively at that position. He's safe for all formats. I'm totally fine with it. And I love the pairing of a Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis for tournaments. That has yet to pay off for me and help me take down a GPP. It's going to happen this year. I know that combo is going to pay off. Maybe Thursday could be that day. So I really do like Holiday. And same thing with Dennis Schroeder. The thing with that, I like Dennis Schroeder maybe even more than Holiday because Drew Holiday's usage rate is 27%, while Dennis Schroeder's is still close to 30%, which is just insane on a team that has Millsap and Dwight Howard and Kent Bazemore. I mean, you got to give Bazemore a lot of shots, right? So I actually prefer Dennis to Drew, you know, cash game simply because he's a little cheaper and because of the usage rate. But both really good plays, both really good spots. If you want to roll out, honestly, for cash games, a Drew Holiday, Dennis Schroeder lineup, you could do it. I like the pace of that game as well, which is going to be nice. So, both those guys, good spots. Reggie Jackson, 6.4K. I loved playing him last week or so when he was still low owned and no one wanted to play him. I'm telling you, it's very important that, especially if you're a tournament player, that you get on guys a day early rather than a day late. Now everyone's going to be on Reggie Jackson now because the last three games, 47, 34, 35. And he talked about usage rates, 31.1%. I fell out of my seat when I saw you got 12 assists last game. Because I don't know how in the world I know he could get past 12. I didn't even know he could make 12 passes in a game. So that's pretty astonishing. But do I think he's going to get 47 FanDuel points against Charlotte? Probably not, but I think he's still too cheap. He should be 7K, and I think Kemba Walker is not that great of a defender. Charlotte's going to be on a back-to-back. Reggie Jackson, another guy. I think he's safe for all formats. I probably still prefer Schroeder and Holiday a little bit because of the pace and because of the matchup, but Reggie Jackson, I will certainly have some exposure to him in tournaments. D'Angelo Russell, 6.3K. Another guy who I love playing in tournaments. I don't want to use him in cash. I love the usage rate, which is close to 30%. The last two games have been good. 32 and 42 FanDuel points. He has gotten me over 30 minutes the last three games, and he played 33 minutes against Memphis. And if he could, I mean, if Luke Walton gave him 33 minutes every day, I'd do a somersault in my apartment right now, because I'm looking at his game logs. This can't be right. 33 minutes, is that his season high all year long? No, maybe it is. It's only letting me go back to November 20th here. That's the most he's played in like a month and a half, which is a good sign. It means he's healthy. And as long as he's, I guess, playing well, then Luke Walton's going to give him over 30 minutes, and that makes him a nice tournament play. Portland, even though the defense versus position says they're decent defending point guard, that's not true. I have two eyes and I watch the games. They're atrocious, especially if Lillard. If Lillard's out, Portland would be a little better defensively, because I guess Crabbe would be defending Russell, and Crabbe's a decent defender, whereas Damian Judy Dench Lillard is not. But I think Russell's in a good spot. I still don't want to use him in cash, but tournaments, absolutely. Darren Williams, 6.1K. So Dallas playing way up in pace. I love the target teams playing way up in pace, because the salaries do not reflect the extra 20 possessions that they're going to get for that particular night. So Darren Williams, 6.1K. His usage rate is actually higher than I thought. It's 27.4%. And Phoenix gives up about the seventh most FanDuel points to point guards. He's in a good spot. He's usually low owned. Another guy, if you want to use him in cash, normally would not recommend it. But on this slate, as long as he's healthy, I mean, JJ Barea is still out. I think you can do it. The usage rate's great, check. Matchup's great, check. Pace is fantastic, check. So yeah, it's totally fine. And it's not a back to back, because I will not play him on a back to back. So he's got some rest, check. Patrick Beverley, 5.9K. So he's been out the last two games. I think he's going to play against Westbrook. If he doesn't play, then I will be using Westbrook in cash, by the way. Right now, I think he's playing. So the last time that he played against Westbrook, he'll probably be on the court every minute that Westbrook is, he had 29 FanDuel points. He only had three actual points, but he had 12 rebounds. And a lot of that is because Westbrook crashes the board and gets so many rebounds. Beverley has to be boxing Westbrook out. So I think Beverly's, quite honestly, in that up and down matchup, I mean, we saw on the last couple, I mean, I always like to play the point guards that Westbrook is defending, because Westbrook exerts so much energy on the offensive end. You know, he has nothing left defensively. So Patrick Beverley, he's fine for all formats. It's still a little pricey for me, and he is dealing with whatever that injury was. So, you know, maybe you don't want to do it in cash, but as long as he's healthy, I think it's fine. Emmanuel, and then we got under 5K. So then you got the Moutier. I don't want to play Moutier, really. It's the Spurs. I'm not a big fan of that. Tony Parker, he's been okay. And Denver is like Atlanta. What do we like to attack from Denver? Guards. And Parker's been in some winning GPP lineups lately. 28, 34, 28, 23, 25, the last five games. So he's been super consistent. The price is obviously very fair. On this slate, there's not a ton of value at point guard. So, you worry a little bit about blowout here, but Parker only gets like 24 minutes anyway. But you know what? I'm going to overrule myself. Where's my gavel? There it is. Yeah, Parker, fine for all formats. If you want to lock and load, I think it's okay. Will the judge do it? I don't know, because I've yet to play, I think, any Spur besides Kawhi and Cash. But Denver guards are that bad. Jordan Clarkson, yeah, he's not getting the minutes, so I just can't do it. Maybe as a dart in a large tournament. And then Shelvin Mack. The only good thing I can say about Mack is the price is down to 3.8K. He's still getting like 26 minutes a night. That's his floor. 17, 25, 11. I mean, Shelvin Mack, it's somewhat similar to the Austin Rivers play on Wednesday, right? It was a horrible play on paper, not a good play. but he's locked into a lot of minutes. Now, Mac won't get as many minutes, but Mac is also cheaper. So if you want to play Mac, he could get you 20, 25. He could even get you 30. Now, 9 out of 10 times he won't. Maybe 8 out of 10 times he won't. But he could. So for tournaments, yeah, you can do it. Shooting guard. James Harden. So, I mean, Harden has been locked in, playing phenomenal lately. As all of you know, he had a 90-point FanDuel point night two games ago against the Knicks. My only concern here is I watched the entire OKC-Houston game, and Westbrook struggled against Beverly, and Harden struggled against Oladipo. And Oladipo really is a good defender. And now, with that said, is Harden matchup-proof? Yeah. And shooting guard kind of sucks. So I have no issues using Harden in all formats. And I prefer Harden slightly to Westbrook on Thursday slate. And that pains me to say it because I hate watching Harden play. I hate his dribble. Let me jump into a defender and get a foul call that's completely absurd and ridiculous. But I like money more than that. So I will be playing him a lot in all formats. With that said, though, you could easily go a more value route, and I will have lineups that fade both Westbrook and Harden. So that's been a winning combination many nights this year. Like I said, on large slates, you typically don't have to play the guys who are this expensive because you could make up for it. In cash games, though, I think it's just nice and safe. Lock in the 50, 55, 60 FanDuel points that Harden's going to give you. DeMar DeRozan, 8.3K. Yeah, I mean, I don't love the one-trick pony against Utah. I just don't. The last three games, 30, 39, 29, and he needs to give me 40 to feel good about it. And, you know, I'd especially when you have guys like CJ McCollum and Batum right around that same price that I'd prefer. So, no thank you for me. With that said, kind of the same. And this is what I mean. This kind of goes for – and that's why it's hard doing a show when – really, there's in tournaments, there's kind of no such thing as a bad play. So on paper, everything says DeMar DeRozan, hell no. But that's what kind of makes him a great tournament play because he'll be under 5% owned. No one will be on him. And yeah, could he go off for 50? Sure, because the guy has a 35% usage rate. But like for my cash games, hell no. And for my single entry tournaments, no, I really don't want to play DeMar DeRozan on Thursday. CJ McCollum, especially if Lillard is out, just in a phenomenal spot. I think it's safe for all formats. The one reason why maybe you don't have to go Harden in cash games if you don't want to, because you could roll out a CJ McCollum, Nicholas Batum. Those guys have both been playing so well, and they're both super safe right now. So I'm fine with that as well. CJ McCollum, I mean, against Golden State, he put up 53 FanDuel points. Against Minnesota, the game before that, 58 FanDuel points. His usage rate without Damian Lillard is over 32%. So against the Lakers, he's just a phenomenal spot. I mean, the back-to-back worries me a tiny bit, and I got to double-check. I mean, maybe it's like three games in four nights. It seems like Portland's been playing a lot lately. And for a jump shooter, that could mean tired legs, and McCollum does take a lot of jump shots. So that's the one thing I will check on after the podcast. But otherwise, all formats fine. Nicholas Batum. You know, I don't know whose team it is, Kemba or Nicholas. Maybe it's both. Batum was really good again against Oklahoma City on Wednesday, 38 FanDuel points. His floor right now is 33, 34. I mean, he's just playing. He's so confident. I mean, that's the one thing that stands out to me if you watch him play. And he was confident shooting the ball. And quite honestly, on Wednesday, like his peripherals sucked. He had 23 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, and 0 steals. But he had 28 actual points. Normally, he's going to get you like somewhere around 15, 16 actual points, but get you way more rebounds, assists, and blocks and steals. So, it was kind of a weird night for him, but he still ended up with 38 FanDuel points. Against Detroit, not the best matchup in the world because of pace, but he's basically been pace-proof. If you look at his game logs, against teams like Miami, 49 FanDuel points. Orlando, slow in pace, 42. Chicago doesn't play very fast, 50. He seems to be – he's basically pace-proof at this point, and I'm fine for him in all formats right now. Devin Booker, Phoenix way down in pace against Dallas. A one-trick pony extraordinaire. Tournaments only for me. Yeah, could – I mean, he's got to give me like 30 actual points to pay off. Could he do it? Sure. But like his ceiling these days is about 30, and that's like hitting value. So I don't love that play. And he gets Wes Matthews defense, so not a big fan. Oladipo, 5.9K. So his price came up $500 since last night. He did okay on Wednesday. Not great. He gave me 28 FanDuel points. I was hoping he would kind of give me maybe 35, 40. That was fine. And he's basically been 28 and 30 the last two games. He's my one concern here is he'll be guarding Harden. How much energy is he gonna expend on the defensive end? The last time OKC played Houston, where is it? Oladipo played 38 minutes, but he only had 19 FanDuel points because he was exhausted guarding Harden. So I think the price is still fair, and I will play him in tournaments, absolutely, in a high-paced game. Do I want to do it in cash? I'm not sure. Right now I'm leaning towards no. Eric Gordon, 5.8K. Every show I say it, the most underrated, consistent guy we have going in DFS right now. I mean, it's just a lock and load if you want someone who – he hasn't had under 20 FanDuel points since November 25th. It's been like six weeks. Last game against Washington, he was terrific. He was 37 FanDuel points. You know, he's got a floor of about 22 and a ceiling right now of about 40. So, I think he's safe for all formats in a super high, fast, up tempo game. And he's going to probably get, I don't know who's going to defend him. If, I'm not sure for OKC. Maybe Roberson defends him. Yeah, I'm not. I got to think about that. I guess he'd get a little bit of Oladipo as well. But either way, Eric Gordon, fine, all formats. KCP, 5.7K. Yeah, you know he's been good the last couple games, 29 and 40 FanDuel points. So he seems to be settling in fine with Reggie Jackson now. I think him and Wes Matthews are both fine. I mean, you have Eric Gordon, KCP, and Wes Matthews. The next are all around the same price on Thursday. If I had to choose, I would go, man. So, the problem is Wes Matthews gets Phoenix. And normally I would be doing jumping jacks. But Wes Matthews got Washington, Golden State, Lakers. And like he has trouble cracking like 30 FanDuel points, partly because his usage rate just isn't that high. I mean, it's just Darren Williams and especially Harrison Barnes get all the shots. So I will love Harrison Barnes for Thursday. And Wesley Matthews, I mean, he's fine. Like, I think he's safe for all formats. But his 20.9% usage rate, which by the way is the exact same as Oladipo, you know, it just doesn't excite me. I do think he's fine for all formats. It's just I don't think the upside is tremendous. But, yeah, I'm fine with Wes Matthews. If I had to rank them for cash games, I would rank them – wow, that's tough. I guess Wes Matthews 1, just because it's Phoenix, and I'm gonna trust him. I'm going to trust pace. Dallas playing way up in pace. So I'd rank them Wes Matthews 1, Eric Gordon 2, KCP 3, but it's really close. Man, I mean, like, I would love to have the exact same lineup and play all three of those guys. Just, you know, with the surrounding the same eight players surrounding them. Let's see. Then you got Will the Thrill Barton and Gary Harris are under 5K. Both against San Antonio. I don't really want to play many Denver guys in this game. Will the Thrill Barton at Magic Mountain with me. He gave me nine FanDuel points last game. And that's what he can do. He's got a floor of 10, a ceiling of like 40. You know, could he go off against the Spurs? Sure. Will I do it in cash? Hell no. Gary Harris, I'd be a little more likely to play him in cash because the minutes are more steady. He will get 30 minutes. And the upside's not the same, though. Could he stumble into 20, 25? Sure. Do I love that play? I don't love it, but there's not a ton of good value at shooting guard. He's one of the better value plays for the slate. Then you got the two Lakers guys. You have Lou Williams and Nick Young. They're both under 5K as well. I mean, Nick Young has had three straight games over about 23 FanDuel points. So at that price, against a Portland team that can play defense, especially at the guard position, I think Nick Young and Lou Williams are going to be in play. Like, I still don't want to touch Nick Young in cash. Either of them I don't want to touch in cash. And, you know, for a single-entry tournament, you could do it. And tournaments, obviously. I mean, Nick Young, they're both one-trick ponies. The difference is Lou Williams has a higher usage rate, for one. And two, Lou Williams gets to the foul line. So even if he has a bad shooting night, he can make up for it, whereas Nick Young cannot. But I don't ever love playing these guys. I always feel weird about it. Nick Young is somewhat of a safer play because his minutes, he gets more minutes. But they're both fine. Other than that, you got Sean Kilpatrick at 4.4K. I mean, I guess as long as Lin's out, if you want to play him, you can. But 12-7 FanDuel points last couple games. Then you got guys like, Kyle Korver, Jeremy Lamb, my sneaky ninja, Monte Ellis. I do like some Monte Ellis. And I do like Crabbe again. If Lillard is out, I like Crabbe. 3.8K against the Lakers. I mean, he had 28 FanDuel points against Golden State. He played 36 minutes. He played 36, 40, 33, 33, 35 since Lillard's been out. So if Lillard is out, I have no issues playing Crabbe in all formats. He's so cheap. And then I got to mention my boy Danny Green, 3.7K. And I'm mentioning him because you can attack Denver guards. So always risky to play Danny Green. But if you want to do it as a dart in a tournament, you can do it. All right, small forward. Kawhi Leonard, 8.5K. Small forward is not great. So Kawhi, safe for all formats. A little worried about a maybe blowout, but Denver's been playing better lately, and I think that game should somewhat stay close, and Kawhi should get, 32, 33 minutes, kind of minimum. And the price has come up a little bit. That sucks. But like his usage rate is actually much higher than I thought. It's close to 30%. So, I guess it's a little 29%, but fine for all formats. Paul George, 7.9K. I do probably prefer Paul George to Kawhi for this slate because Paul George is playing Brooklyn. So, right now, I don't want to say lock and load in your cash games, but you can do it and feel good about it. It's just he's in an elite spot. He's still too cheap as far as his talent goes. I mean, he was a 9K player last year. It's just he hasn't played kind of great all year, but he seems to be slowly turning it around. If you watch him play the last couple games, he's actually like just the way his like kind of facial expressions and how much emotion he's shown. He looks like kind of into it. Whereas, about a week ago, I watched him play and he was just like emotionless. He was like the Earl Watson of NBA players, or maybe the Greg Monroe of NBA players. I mean, he just like looked very angry, disinterested, aloof. Lately, he seems a little more intense. So he's in a really good spot. All formats, fine. Gordon Hayward, he's fine. I just like other guys better on this slate. So, I just prefer Harrison Barnes, who we'll talk about in a second. I prefer Paul George, and I probably prefer Kawhi over Gordon Hayward. Speaking of Harrison Barnes at Phoenix, 6.9K. I mean, yeah. I mean, the problem that – I might go a Paul George, Harrison Barnes as my two cash game small forwards if I can afford it. Harrison Barnes, I like the usage rate that he has. Where is it? No, I can't find it. He's a small forward and power forward on DraftKings. Interesting. It's only 25.5% usage rate. I thought it was 27% like a couple days ago. Bizarre. Either way, he's Dallas's number one option. 42, 35, 34 FanDuel points the last three games. Dallas playing way up in pace. So I love the fact he's going to get an extra, 10, 15, 20 extra possessions. Phoenix gives up, I think, the fifth or sixth most FanDuel points to small forwards. So Harrison Barnes, super safe play, all formats, totally fine. Gallinari, I don't want a ton because he's going to get some Kawhi Leonard defense, so probably a fade for me. Trevor Ariza, yep, I will absolutely have some James Harden, Trevor Ariza combo in my lineup because Ariza is locked into monster minutes these days, 44, 39, 37, and 34, 33, 36 FanDuel points last three games. He's not a one-trick pony. He fills up the stat sheet, especially he's elite at steals, and he's been getting a lot of assists lately as well. I love this matchup, man, for Ariza. And, you know, if you quite honestly, if you want to use him in cash because of the high over-under of that game, you could do it if you don't have the money to grab, you know, Harrison Barnes and a Paul George or a Kawhi. And tournaments, absolutely. Wilson Chandler, another guy. You know, I guess in theory, Wilson Chandler would get Kawhi Leonard defense and Gallinari would get LaMarcus Aldridge defense. So if that's the case, because both are starting, I guess I'd prefer to play Gallo over Wilson Chandler. Whichever one Kawhi guards, that's the one I do not want to play. But either way, I'm not a huge fan of either of those two on this slate. Evan Turner, I mentioned him previously. You can still do it in tournaments because on Thursday he gets the Lakers. So if Lillard's still out, he's still going to get a lot of minutes. And, you know, if let's say CJ McCollum has an off night because they have played 4-3 games in 4 nights or whatever it is, maybe they'll need Evan Turner to initiate some more of the offense. And against the Lakers, he should be able to kill them. I mean, Evan Turner's good. He's got talent. He should be able to give you a 30-35 FanDuel point night. Now, I just don't trust it, so I can't do it in cash games. But for tournaments, you know, I'll take the risk. If I have 10 lineups, maybe in two. TJ Warren, yeah, so he was a soul crusher for a lot of us a couple nights ago. Only got 17 minutes. I mean, when you talk about a Magic Mountain player, you know, him and Bledsoe both, they are first and second in line. I mean, look at his not only minutes, but and then look at his FanDuel production. So minutes first, 17, 41, 19, 27, the last four. FanDuel production, 3, 39, 3, 11. What the hell do we do with that? I mean, that's why he's 4.7K, but that screams tournament only, obviously. Also playing way down in pace. So not an elite spot, but the price is fantastic. Just if you do it in cash or single entry, I mean, it's a little crazy right now. Mo Harkless. Look, I think the Portland boys, they're all in play again for me. So, you know, McCollum, we mentioned Crab, Harkless, Aminu, Plumdog. Everyone against the Lakers is in play. So, Harkless, not much upside here. He's going to stumble, bumble, and fumble his way into 20 FanDuel points. He got 22 FanDuel points against Golden State. He's going to play 30 minutes. And if that's good enough for you, you want someone super safe, he's fine. MKG 4.6K, the man, you know, a man without a usage rate. He got 28 FanDuel points against OKC on Wednesday, while he was matched up against Russell Westbrook. He got 11 rebounds, which was really good. He's fine. I mean, he's somewhat similar to Harkless. I mean, if you look at those two, you know, Harkless has a usage rate of 16%, and MKG is 14.5%. So, I mean, I would prefer when you have something like that, then I want to look at pace, who's playing in a better pace game. And it's Harkless against the Lakers, whereas MKG gets Detroit. So I prefer Harkless. Other than that, Terrence Ross, you could take a flyer on Cephalosha. Kent Bazemore, I actually played him on Wednesday and he did well for me. He got me 27 FanDuel points. So the Bays, I wouldn't do it in cash, but you can do it. And then Glenn Robinson, I think Glenn Robinson is still starting and last three games, 17, 19, 26, and now he gets Brooklyn. So he's dirt cheap, 3.7K. Everyone kind of forgot about him. You could play him. I think he's fine for all formats against Brooklyn. All right, power forward. Gotta pick up the pace. The ultimate Tin Man, the original Tin Man, Anthony Davis, 11.1K. So I have not been playing him lately at all. Let me quickly check his so the usage is still fine, 31%. I'm pretty sure the last game he took like 40 shots. He just missed them all against the Cavs. I think he had like 12 shots in the first quarter. Ended up with, I mean, the last four games haven't been great. 48-47, 38-51. And when you have a slate with a Westbrook, with a Harden, it's hard to fit Anthony Davis in your cash game lineups. So I probably will not be doing it. But, you know, he's – obviously the upside there is there for 60, 70 FanDuel points. I do love the fact – I do want to pair him with Jrue Holiday because I love Jrue Holiday's matchup here. And – I think on slates like this, he'll be he's always the least owned of the superstars, so he's fine. Paul Millsap, 8.2K. Yeah, I mean, the thing about New Orleans is you can attack Anthony Davis defensively, so I guess they'd be matched up against each other. Millsap is another guy. He's been somewhat consistent, 32, 52, 42, 35. This year he definitely has had some duds. Right now, I do not have the money to spend up for him in cash because I want to go like small forward. I basically want to spend up. And right now I have Harden as well. So I can't do it, but you could. And he's excellent tournament play. LaMarcus Aldridge, 7.7K. So he gets Jokic. I guess he would get – I keep thinking Jokic is a power forward. Jokic is basically playing center now. So he gets Gallinari. He's too skilled for Gallinari defensively. And Aldridge has been really good. 43, 50. He had the one stinker that when I played a ton of him, 16, 44 before that though, 44 and 50. So, you know, five of our last six games, he's been excellent. And another good spot here. I think I don't have the money for cash, but he's fine for all formats. He'll be low owned. And He's playing really well right now. Julius Randle, 7.1K. So Portland, you can attack the hell out of Portland bigs, especially power forward and center. They at least a couple days ago they were at least last or second worst in the league, giving up FanDuel points to power forwards. I will just verify that real quickly. Yep, they are dead last. Julius Randle is a beast. He's a monster. He's basically Zach Randolph on steroids. 52 and 43 FanDuel points last two. Three out of the last four games, he's been over 43 FanDuel points. And the most important thing for me, 37 and 36 minutes the last two games. So Luke Walton slowly but surely seems to be giving Randle and guys like Randle and Russell big minutes. And that means we can finally start attacking these Lakers guys. It's hard to – all year long, I've never said Randle safe for cash. On this slate, I think he is. Portland defense is that bad. He's fine for all formats for me. And I'm a big fan of Randle on Thursday. Jokic, so he gets Aldridge, San Antonio. He's still a fantasy point per minute monster. The last five games, he's been great. 37, 44, 37, 42, 46. And three of those games, the minutes have been in the 20s. I mean, can he stay out of foul trouble? I mean, I guess he'd be matched up. I keep saying Aldridge, but I guess it's because he's listed as power forward here. But I guess he's going to play Gasol. Either way, he's still a good play. I mean, for me, you can play him in cash. I can't tell you not to, just given how good he's been. But for me, on Thursday, I probably will only use him in tournaments. Other than that, Tobias Harris, 5.9K. Okay, I don't really want to go there. Ryan Anderson. Yeah, I mean, tournaments, I absolutely will have – I'll have me a Harden, Ariza, Anderson lineup. He is a one-trick pony, though, super scoring dependent. So tournaments only for me for Ryan Anderson. Trevor Booker's 5.5K. He like basically vanished for about a couple weeks, and now the last week or so he's been back in play, 39, 27, 26, and 22 against Utah, no less. He played 34 minutes at 17 points, 15 rebounds, and 39 FanDuel points. He's always a fantasy point per minute monster. And Indiana, they could not defend the power forward position at all. Like Thaddeus Young has aged rapidly before our eyes. So Trevor Booker is in a really good spot here in a super high, fast-paced game. And I don't want to do it in cash because the minutes are too crazy, but tournaments, absolutely. I can see me having like in a large GPP a Ryan Anderson, Trevor Booker lineup. Now that could completely crash. Both of them could put up duds, but they both could give me 30, 40 Vando points as well. So Booker for tournaments. Enes Kanter, another guy I don't trust for cash right now. Even though on Wednesday he was good in 20 minutes, 30, 31 Vando points. But for me, he's going to be a single entry or a tournament only guy for me on Thursday. Speaking of that same Trevor Booker game, Thaddeus Young, he gets Brooklyn defense as well. So if you want to have a Booker Thaddeus Young as your two power forwards, you could do that as well. It'd be an interesting move, especially if you wanted to have a little game stack of that game. You could do it. His upside is not great right now, 23-16, 26-31. But the minutes are still there. He's still getting over 32 minutes a night. So at that price, he's fine for all formats. John Lure is okay, 4.9K. It's pretty cheap. So if you want to use him in cash, you can do it. Derek Favors, I don't know what's going on with him. He got 29 minutes against Boston, 29 Vando points. So he had his best night. He's dirt cheap, 4.5K. If he was healthy, God forbid, he would be like a 7K player, maybe even more than that. So if I have 10 lineups, maybe I put him in one or two. Marvin Williams, you can do it if you want, if Zeller's going to be out. Then you got Aminu again. I like Aminu again against the Lakers. He had 28 Vando points against Golden State on Wednesday, and that's too cheap in a super fast-paced game against the Lakers that can't defend anyone. And that's probably as low as I want to go at power forward. All right, man. I'm exhausted. I feel like the show has been like 2 hours long. I'm losing my voice. Center, Andre Drummond, 7.9K. You can absolutely destroy the Charlotte Bigs. So we got no Cousins, no Towns. So Drummond is the highest priced center, and I think he's fine for all formats. He's cost me more money than anyone this year. But the last two games, 46 and 52. And, I mean, Roy Hibbert defense, Spencer Hawes, Frank Kaminsky, he should be able to get 20 rebounds and have a nice night. Dwight Howard, I mean, you could almost repeat exactly what I said about Drummond because Howard's in a good spot for him as well. The Pelicans can't defend the center position. He should be able to get 15, 20 rebounds. The issue for him, I guess, would be back-to-back. I mean, and no pun intended, he's dealing with a back issue and probably will be for the rest of his career. So I don't like playing him on back-to-backs. I will check the data and the numbers to see what his performance is on back-to-backs this year. He did play over 30 minutes on Wednesday. So I guess I prefer Drummond over Howard if I had to choose. Brooke Lopez, 7.5K. Man, I don't know what to do with Brooke Lopez. He's not similar to DeAndre Jordan, but it's almost like I wish Jeremy Lin was playing because Lopez needs someone to get him the ball in good spots. The Nets have no point guard. Like you should sometimes Brooke Lopez, he gets the ball in such bad position, and then he's got to create offense for himself like outside the 3-point line. It's just super frustrating to watch. So he's great usage rate, you know, pretty nice matchup against Indiana. Brooklyn, you know, they need him to score. I'm fine with it. I probably won't go there in cash, but you can do it in tournaments, absolutely. I just wish someone could pass him the ball in like a decent position. I mean, God, it's painful to watch them try to get him the ball. And sometimes there'll be like 8-9 possessions where he won't touch it, and you're just screaming at the TV. Because he's by far their best player. He should get the ball every possession for them. Rudy Gobert, 7.4K. So just a boring, safe play. If you don't know what to do at center, just play some Rudy Gobert, man. He'll get a double-double, and he'll probably end up with between 30 and 40 Fanduel points. Miles Turner, 6.7K. So he gets Brooklyn. I've been tracking his ownership. It's been under 10% every night that I played him the last week. Now center's not that great on Thursday, so maybe it'd be a little bit higher, and especially against Brooklyn. But I will absolutely have some exposure. He's a little pricey, So I don't know if you want to do it for cash, but just simply because it's Brooklyn and Indiana's playing up in pace, I think he's safe for all formats. 34, 45 FanDuel points the last two games, and the minutes have been well over 30, which is nice and juicy. And Brook Lopez will have mad difficulty trying to defend Turner, because Turner can go out on the perimeter, and he's quick. And Brook Lopez, as you guys know, Brook Lopez can't move two steps to grab a rebound. So he's going to have his hands full of trying to guard Miles Turner. Pau Gasol, you can do it. I never seem to play him. It never seems to work out because, you know, I just don't. I like other guys better, you know. But he's basically between 20 and 35 FanDuel points the last couple weeks. So, you know, it's not horrible. Steven Adams, 5.6K. Yep, totally fine. He's been good. I think it's going to be interesting to see who Houston starts. I guess, you know, because Adams is a big boy down low. So will they actually go to Nene instead of Montrezl Harrell? I hope not, because I want to play Harrell. But Adams has been 39 and 41 FanDuel points the last two games. And he's playing pretty well. Fast-paced game for OKC. I think Adams is fine for all formats. Valanciunas, not against Gobert. Although he's still at that, he's so cheap at 5.1K. Maybe if I have 10 lineups, I would do it in like one tournament. Although, yeah, 8 FanDuel points last game against San Antonio. Then you got Tyson Chandler. You can do it if you want. I just don't want to do it. Montrezl Harrell, 4.7K. So the price has come up on Harrell, and I'm totally fine with it. Now, I don't like attacking Steven Adams, but I see Harrell getting, you know, he gets all of his buckets out in transition, easy putbacks. So it's not like he's going to be attacking Adams one-on-one. It's all hustle plays. So he's getting over 30 minutes a night last three games, 28, 24, and 41. You know, if you have the money to get Adams, I probably, for cash games, would prefer Adams over Harrell. But otherwise, I think Harrell's fine. And that's about as low as I want to go at center. If Bogut, I don't want to play Bogut. All right, that's it. That is the slate. Man, this is a fascinating slate. I can't believe we have 8 games on Thursday. That's awesome. All right, so have any questions? Tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Email me via the website, DGCourtroom. Man, it's late, guys. It's 4:30 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I don't know what time it is. What's my website? It's DGCourtroomDFS.com. If you want to email me there. If you want to get into chambers, remember, a tweet is better than a DM because there's a greater likelihood that I will see the tweet. If you want to get into chambers, I normally tweet out the links around 5 p.m. Eastern time. I normally tweet out my core four, kind of my top plays of the night, around 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. If you guys have any questions, feel free to ask me via Twitter or the email. If you want a consultation, feel free to let me know. We can work on that as well. As always, I love you. I hope you have achieved glory on Tuesday night. If not, not Tuesday, on Wednesday night. If not, we shall achieve glory on Thursday night. Let's take advantage of this delicious 8-game slate. With that said, I'm exhausted. Where's my smoothie, with my straw and my gavel and my bed? Court is adjourned.